Heavenly Father, our Lord, thank you, Lord, for the grace that we all gathered here as a congregation of the Lord to serve you, to praise you, to worship you in spirit, in truth, and to love one another in deed and in truth. Blessed be your holy name, Father. The Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel, the Lord who is leading his children by the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we all receive thy mercy today. For there is no day in our life without you, for you are our day, the song of our salvation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you blessed this day for all of us to glorify your name. And for that reason, O Father, it is well with our soul. Thank you, Lord. All we ask you in your name is for your way, for your will to happen in our life. There is no other better thing that can happen to our life other than your perfect will, your way of having life, your way of leading life, your way of speaking life, and your way of living the words of life. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, teach us. You are the gardener. We are nothing but the plants, the trees of righteousness, which can only be alive as long as the gardener continues to prune it, to feed it, and to remove all the unwanted things, the things that are not sanctified, consecrated, to glorify the name of the Lord in the tabernacle. Lord, here we are. Help us to understand thy still, small, beautiful voice that tells us what to do, how to think, what to speak, how to live, how to stand upright. Without your Spirit, O Lord, there is no uprightness, there is no righteousness. Lord, we ask for thy guidance. We ask for thy grace. We ask for thy presence to soak us and to wash us thoroughly. For the words of the Lord, refined, purified 7 times. And thank you, Lord, that you bless all of us to be part of the 7th church age. Help us, Lord, for we receive the Lord. We have revealed thy beautiful word to us, the revelation of the truth. Lord, you have given us more. You are expecting us to do more. Help us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Grant us thy strength. Grant us thy joy to fill our hearts with the fear of God, which is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Lord, we pray and we surrender all of us into the mighty hand in the name of Jesus Christ. I surrender the sermon. I surrender all of us, our thoughts, our words, our ears. Anoint us, O Father, with your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the promises. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. Amen. Shalom, dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. For he hath hated suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hands join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. As a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for walking these wilderness, hills, valleys, mountains, that God called all of His children to hold on to each other, to lean on one another, to hold one another's hand firm in prayers, in fellowship, in sharing the burden with one another, not in the love of the brotherlyhood, sisterhood, fatherhood, whatever the relationship the world can throw it on your face. It is not agape love. The blood of Christ that united us as one family of God, the unity of the Spirit that taught us what is unity of faith, togetherness, and to understand that it is not about you, it's not about me, it's not even about this church, but it's all about Him. What He wants to do, what He wants to accomplish, what He wants to remove, what He wants to add, what He wants to wash, what He wants to make things right and straight. The perfect will of God, the divine plan that He has for His children, most importantly, for the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of redemption, if our flesh, our past, the enemy, your own thoughts, your own self-righteous behavior, attitude, as we call it, if it keeps on beating you to the ground where you are simply dwelling with the memories of the past, fighting fire internally, listening to noise and trying to shut yourself from noise, and again being exposed to noise, being absolutely meaningless, fruitless, not to the service of the Lord, but to the service of men. The day when the ministry of Jesus Christ, when the service to the Lord is focusing on your wounds, your pain, your thoughts, which are totally outside His mighty plans for you, His promises for you, which will never come with you when you enter into the promised land, which you can't carry or keep or keep it safely in the mansions that He has built for you. Whatever that is disturbing us, whatever that is making us to stay away from the focus, from the reason, the very existence of why we are part of a ministry, not a social gathering. It means something happened in the wall the Lord allowed His children to build. Untempered mortar. By God's grace, today morning I was smote in the head to preach on book of Ezekiel 13:14. So it's not a coincidence. The Lord is with you, brother. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 13. Let's turn your Bibles. Today's sermon will be rooted on the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 13, verse 1. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, not some other country, not some other nation, prophets of Israel, that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel, to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because even because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daubed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be no, and there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you understand what is the meaning of untempered mortar? Untempered mortar. Something which was meant to be processed perfectly, purified, exactly what the Lord wants them to do, to purify it, to believe and to speak, to believe and to live, and to believe and to serve, to edify, to encourage, to cry and to pray, whatever that we can think of, being the part of the family of God, in the service to the Lord. Untempered mortar. If the Lord is a builder and He hired all of us to continue to build something together with Him, fellow workers, husbandry, He says, this is the procedure. These are the guidelines. You must follow it, believe it, and go and prepare the mortar. Make sure that it's properly tempered, perfectly aligned with my will, with my vision, with my plan, with my desire for you and for the house that I'm going to build. He gave us the tools. He gave us the revelation. He gave me the truth. And you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He has given everything and tells you, take that brick, which is
nothing but a stone, no life, and he will breathe his life into the earth, and he's the only one who can make us into lively stones. Amen. And he says, like those wise virgins who are asked to go and make sure the lamp has oil to keep burning, to go and press the olives, to press the oil, make sure that you bring the right oil, or else the flame will leave some smoke on the glass and you can't see the light. Whatever that is unacceptable in the service of the Lord is an untempered mortar. It's a strange fire that profanes His holy name. It may look like the wall is perfectly sealed, but the cement that was used on one side might be different from the other side. Because the untempered mortar, whatever the plaster that men applied on the wall of the Lord without His will, without His blessing, going against the word, going against the will, going against the truth that you received, you are doing something that is absolutely unacceptable to the presence of the Lord. That untempered mortar, you may think, I'm serving the Lord, I'm a child of God, I'm baptized in Jesus' name, how come I can become the vessel of adversary? Oh yes, you can. You have the power to drop it any day. God would never force you to drag you to the promised land. Only those who desire, who are willing, obedient, can enter into the land of goodness. So what is untempered mortar? What was that strange fire Nadab and Abihu brought before the Lord? Not behind the Lord, not somewhere outside the tabernacle, outside the place where they were called to serve the Lord. Inside. Untempered mortar and a strange fire. Strange fire and the untempered mortar. Why the Lord is so furious about it? But why the Lord allowed it to happen in the first place? If He is the head of the church, the Creator, the Alpha and Omega, who is seeing all, listening all, who is in charge of everything, then why the Lord allows untempered mortar to exist in the place where His name is worshipped? And how the Lord exposes the untempered mortar? And how the Lord exposes the profane fire, strange fire? But then why the Lord allow it to manifest in the first place? Let's turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Where we stopped last Sunday. Verse 14. Chapter 16, verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of this man? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I heard one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Stop at verse 18. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33.
Verse 7.
Chapter 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door. Not someone's tent door. At his tent door. I want us to focus this very sincerely, because the word of the Lord is very unique, very intimate. It talks to you personally, not to someone. You are not the tourist guide. The Lord is the guide. That all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. They stood at that door, every man at his tent door. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. What stood at the door of the tabernacle? The cloudy pillar. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. Again, not at the door of the tabernacle, not at someone's door. Every man in his tent door. Where do you stand? Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. We know what Joshua represents. You better know. Verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now let's stop there. What is the key word that should be etched in our heart? Every man stood at his tent door. Last Sunday we meditated on Sarah, who was in the tent, and the three men who came, Abraham and the three men, they were discussing under the tree. They rested, they washed their feet, they were discussing. The three men asked Abraham, where is your wife? Where is your wife Sarah? They wanted to give a promise. The promised son is for you. Every man stood at his tent door. Man. Now, let's read Numbers 16:18 again. Numbers 16:18 again. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. All the 250, the company of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, they challenged and they received what they desired, irrespective of the warning given by the servant of God. They said, yes, we are godly people. God told us to do this. God told us to perform this. God told us to speak this. God told us to put this fire on. God told us to do this, this and that. This is not untempered motive. It's a perfect will of God, beautifully guided by the Holy Ghost. It is not the untempered motive. So they were holding on the fire and stood at the door of the tabernacle, not at the door of their own tent, because they wanted to be there. They asked for it. Verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Again, the door to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Exodus 33 says, the pillar of cloud stood at the door of the tabernacle. Amen. Now the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation at the door of the tabernacle. Because Moses and Aaron stood there and they asked the Lord to come and settle the defilement, the profaning, the untempered mortar, dishonoring the name of the Lord, rebellion against the God who was gracious, merciful, with His everlasting kindness, delivered all of us from the captivity, from our own bondage, from our flesh, from our weaknesses, from our evil things, from the mighty hand of God. When God said nobody can snatch you from the mighty hand, He delivered us from the captivity to keep us inside His mighty hand. Amen? Can we forget this mercy? Can we ever forget this grace? What happened to us? None of us worthy to receive it. None. But yet, forgetfulness takes over. Why? Why? Now read this. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron. He is not speaking to anyone else. Separate yourselves from among this congregation. Which congregation? We just heard. The door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord. The Lord did not say, separate yourself from the congregation of the Lord. He can't say. He is the truth. The Lord says, separate yourself from this congregation. Which congregation? That I may consume them in a moment. Few Sundays ago, I used the same verse for all of us to learn something different. The Lord hide His face for a moment. The Lord show His anger for a moment. For us to learn from the heat, from the wrath, from His anger, to come back to our senses. Then the Lord turns back with His everlasting mercy and kindness for the promises, the covenant that He has for you and me. He turns back. But for a moment, the same way He left King Hezekiah for a moment to try out what is there in His heart. Because as long as He is in complete control, you are nothing but a boat which has a captain who would never sail in a wrong direction. Because He is the truth. But He will just take His hands off to see whether you are able to do His commandments. Without us doing His commandments, we would never receive the right to the tree of life. Amen? Did He say, you just believe in the commandments, I will do for you? He won't row the boat for you. He has given you the hand. He has given you the tool. He wants you to row the boat. He wants you to do the plaster. He wants you to bring the cement. He wants you to bring the oil. He wants you to bring the fire that brings sweet aroma. When the Lord allowed the gates of Jerusalem to be broken, don't you see? Lord, you promised your children. You promised David. You promised Solomon. Then why the gates are broken? Why the walls are broken? What the Lord wants us to learn. He is not in the bricks. He is not in the metal gate. He is not in the strong, sound stone. He is here. The still, small voice call you from the deep. He is very concerned about how you guard your heart. Not how you guard your people from the enemies. What does it matter? Enemy invades, you betray him. I don't know Jesus. Just let me live. What is the point? That is not the wall. Your faith, the holy faith, that stands for the promises that you receive, that stands firm for the truth that was revealed to you. That is your wall. Stephen had no walls around him. He was completely exposed. Nobody to protect him. Nobody to go and share the burden with him. He was exposed to be hit by stone 360. But he was still inside the wall. He never betrayed Jesus. He never said, Lord, why? No, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The spirit was guarded, shielded with a wall of fire. Men cannot see. Flesh cannot see. Stone cannot see. He can see. He gave it back to him. Untouched, blameless, unharmed. His spirit was unharmed. But the body that is aging, who cares? He will receive a glorious body. Nobody can touch it. Those who threw stone against him will not see when he receives a glorious body. If the Lord did not forgive them. Amen? But what Stephen did? Lord charged them not for the sin. Can Lord say, no, I will ignore your prayer request. He uttered a prayer at the time of his death. He brings forth life when the grain of seed falls. He brings forth life. All he wanted to do was to speak life, not to speak death. He could have spoken death. Lord, just burn them. But what is happening here? Why Moses didn't do the same? Do you see the difference? Those who stoned against Stephen were not the disciples of Christ. They did not know Christ. They do not know truth. They do not know the Savior. Their veil was still there. They were blinded. They were following the law of Moses, the same Moses we are studying now. They were following the laws of Pharisees, Sadducees. Could not be established in the present truth. They didn't see what happened. They didn't experience the power of resurrection. What the Lord did for us in Calvary, they could not realize. The agape love was not exposed to them. So whatever they did, Stephen can say with the truth, Lord, they don't know what they are doing. Just forgive them. Because Jesus did the same. But can you and me tell the same? Lord, let me go and throw stones at my sister, my brother. I will just hurt them. Because Lord, you know, you just call me to correct people. I'm a gardener. I will just go and prune them. I will use Bible verses, throw stones at everyone. Oh, you are doing this. Let me go. Oh, this chapter is hit the stone. My brethren, the enemy, Satan, used the Bible verse to tempt Jesus. Talk about one apostle, one true servant of God, one mighty prophet of God, one mighty king of God, who used the word of the Lord to accuse someone. One. If at all someone did, he would have been punished by the Lord for him not to lose the life, the true life. Untempered mortar, strange fire can only happen in the house of the Lord. If the enemy can go and apply something outside the wall, it's not untempered mortar. Because they don't know the Lord. They don't know what they're doing. But if someone is applying the untempered mortar inside the house, the Lord is watching you. If he allows you to do it, it's even more worse. You should ask, why? Why the Lord didn't smote my head? Why the Lord didn't punish me? Why I'm just having a comfortable life? You may think, is it very important for us to be warned? Oh yes. The tabernacle is applied to your heart. Amen? You can have some untempered mortar in your heart. I will do this because the Lord told me to do this. I will say this because the Lord told me to say this. My brethren, God would not speak vain babblings. If he speaks life. Amen? He speaks truth. He speaks something that he means business. He won't speak something that is absolutely meaningless. That is nothing but our own thoughts, our own flesh. The enemy is just throwing voice at your ear. And you receive it. Oh yeah, the Lord told me. Vain babblings, untempered mortar, strange fire. Every one of us must be aware of it. A slightest blind spot in your spiritual life, you may start building your own untempered mortar. Oh, my heart is, I'm happy. I'm not burdened, I'm very happy. The Lord gave me peace. It's not peace. You are self-righteous. You can be happy when you are self-righteous. You can be absolutely happy. You can be filled with your own peace. And the Lord says, woe unto him who say peace when there is no peace. Last Sunday I mentioned, the beautiful, complete definition of shalom is wholeness, completeness. When you say, shalom, Brother Clement, I say, I pray, may the Lord fulfill his promises in you. Wholeness, completeness. Only then you can receive the peace of God. Shalom means that the destroyer of the chaos. No, he destroys everything. Only then you can bring peace. The Lord who is mighty in battle, he is called the Prince of Peace. Why? Because he is mighty in battle. He go and fight for you. He going fight all the battles for you. He going smote all the enemies for you. Then you say, Lord, I'm happy, I'm peaceful inside the wall, inside the tabernacle, inside the temple of Holy Spirit, for He dwells in the midst of us. For that reason, there is no beast can lay hands on you. There is no enemy can throw arrows at you, because you are at absolute rest, blessed assurance, blessed quietness. So what do you mean by peace? If Joshua didn't go for all the battles, the land of Israel would never had the rest. They received peace because the Lord allowed them to overcome all the battles. The scripture is very clear. The land of Israel rested from all battles because the Lord gave victory to Joshua. The church. Oftentimes your mind will tell you, the Lord saved me. The Lord revealed His truth to me. I believe in Jesus. There is no one can say Jesus is the Lord without the Holy Ghost. Amen? So you will say all of this and you say, there is no way I can make a mistake. There is no way this dream, this prophecy is from my own mind. Because I'm a child of God. It must be from God. It must be from the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord interpreted this for me. Be aware. If someone does it who do not know the Lord, they can at least have a key of ignorance to enter into Jerusalem in humbleness. But if all of us do it inside the tabernacle, when the Lord is watching all of us, searching all of us, deepest of our heart, intents and thoughts, piercing to the deep, He knows exactly why we are doing it. There is something we have to be very careful, because there is no time. There is absolutely no time, as you may think. We can't say, the Lord's coming is 2 years from now, let me take some rest before I start my marathon, before I start my sprint race. I'm just building my muscles, I'm just doing some exercises, I'm going to run, and the Lord's coming is soon, I'm just watching. Because the Lord called me to watch and pray, I'm watching. It's called monitoring, not watching. We run the race every single day, because your race can stop any second. For you have no control over your heartbeat. The Lord can take any of us anytime when He says, your life is over, come home. We can only make peace when you are still breathing, my brethren. You can only make amends when you are still breathing. You can only go and tell someone, I love you, when you are still breathing. When that person is still breathing, you can't do otherwise if either one of you are not breathing. How will you go and make peace? Go and knock the tomb? Or are you there? He's not there. The woman who was looking for the body of Jesus, the two men in white apparel said, what are you doing? I'm looking for Jesus. He is not here. Resurrected. Ascended. He called all of us to be resurrected in His spirit, to be born again. For He wants us to feel the same blessing, to meet Him up in the air, in the cloud. When you are ascended to the cloud, receive Him. Amen? He is waiting to receive us in the cloud. What we are doing? Carrying too much weight? We must be light. We must be free. Only then He can carry. So I want all of us to pray and speak to your hearts. Whatever you can't carry to the promised land, drop it. Do you hear me? Whatever you cannot carry to the other side, whatever you can take it to the other side of Jordan, whatever you can drag it to enter into the promised land, drop it. Your thoughts, your pain, your hurt, your past memories, whatever it is not going to be allowed for you to carry to the rest, to the promised land. It's not allowed. Prohibited. The only thing we can carry is thanksgiving in our heart, to praise Him, to worship Him, and our love for the brethren in agape love, not your philia. In agape love, philia will never cross Jordan. Only agape will cross Jordan. All our strives, our weariness in our workplace, we have to work to put the food on the table. It will all come to an end. Don't be troubled so much. God is our provider. He provides. You lack nothing in the wilderness. The Lord says, children of Israel lack nothing. Amen. In the wilderness, if you believe in the word, you would never lack anything. If you don't believe in the word, you would lack everything. The Lord has given us a promise. I will see you through. He has overcome all. He will see you through. Whatever the pain, valley that is going on in your life, just tell yourself, it's not going to last forever. My pain in my spine, the surgery to Brother Ronnie, your illness, whatever you are going through, my brethren, you can't take it to the promised land. He will transform you to the most beautiful version of you could be in His sight. Strong and beautiful. The flesh of not of this body, not this leprous flesh which will age and die, but the glorious body. So the Lord wants us to be happy because He is with you. He wants you to be at peace because He is with you. He wants you to be at rest because He is with you. He wants you to believe Him because He is with you. He wants you to hold on to His promises because He is with you. But still you can't do it because He is not with you. Then what would you say? Are you telling me the Lord is not with me? I'm telling you, if you have all of these thoughts, the Lord is not in you. The tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Spirit, must be prepared for the Lord to dwell. If the Spirit is not dwelling in you, you will go disquiet. You will go crazy. You will say, I'm struggling with this pain. I'm not able to overcome. So you're telling the Lord, your mighty hand is not sufficient to bring me out of the valley. You're telling the Lord, your hand is not strong enough. You know how you should pray? Lord, you are strong. I am weak. Forgive me. I repent. Help me to climb up the mountain. I will wait and I believe and I hope in the eternal glory that is promised to me. So the Lord wants us to be rooted in the promises. Amen. The Lord wants us to be confident in the word. The Lord wants us to be happy in the truth. If something makes you sad, if something makes you weaker, if something makes you not to be able to praise Him, worship Him with all your might, that something, my brethren, is not from the Holy Ghost. Take it from the altar. We have to be very careful. God of Jacob is my help. Amen? You must be happy. You must be confident. You must be full of joy. How come Brother Ronnie has the strength to come to church? He could say, I will rest. I had surgery. But who gave you the strength? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Because you may not see another day. That is the reality. Amen. We may not see another day. This could be our last day. So live a life. Today is the day. Don't say the last day. Because He will decide. Today is the day. It could be the first day or the last day. Up to Him. Every day His mercy is fresh and new. Having receiving all of this. Now let's go. And read this. Verse 20. Chapter 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourself. I spoke the word of the Lord concerning the wrath of God that stand at the separation. Amen. The Lord who clothed Himself with darkness, the light is there. And the light is unapproachable. Nobody can approach the Lord. Only the Lord can reveal Himself. I'm here. Can you see me? I'm here. When you see the light, Lord, thank you, Lord. You are my master. You are my savior. I surrender my life. I am baptized in Jesus' name and I will yield to your spirit to do your commandments. Apostle Paul did not become Apostle Paul by Stephen. It was Jesus Christ, the life, our savior, Alpha and Omega, who showed the light and he became blind. But the truth is, he was blind before and his eyes were opened. The eyes of the flesh were shut, but the eyes of the spirit was to be given to him. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Do you see the same bargain of Abraham with God? Here it is 1, not 10. Exactly opposite side. Abraham said, Lord, if there are 10 righteous, would you have mercy upon the city? The Lord said, so be it. Now Moses and Aaron, they are speaking. If one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. What is happening here? Look at the word very carefully. Look at the words that are written, crafted, so accurately, precise. Speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, not the tabernacle of the Lord. Do you hear me? It was not mentioned as the tabernacle of the Lord. It says, tabernacle of Dathan, Abiram and Korah. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tent of this wicked man, and touch nothing of them, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. John the Baptist is speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees, who want you to flee? Jesus told the same thing, who want you to flee? What Moses is doing here? Why the focus is changed from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord, then congregation, then tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and doesn't end there. Now he says, do not stay inside, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of that, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1, we read again. For the word of the Lord refined, purified, 7 times. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1. We read this last Sunday. We receive it today. Chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Read it again. Verse 26, chapter 16, Numbers. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tent of this wicked man, and touch nothing of that, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, not the tabernacle of the Lord, having a form of godliness creeping into houses. Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tent, and their wife, and their son, and their little children. The word was spoken as the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord is not asking Moses, could you consider? There is no consideration when the Lord is speaking. Amen? For there is none to tell him what to do. You look at the words spoken by men, spoken by the vessels, spoken by the Almighty Himself, you can see a pattern. You can see a pattern of life, death and separation. Read verse 27. Again. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of the tent, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. It is not the Moses whom you know, who stood in the gap for the children of Israel, and told the Lord, blot my name out of your book, kill me, don't touch your children. That was the Moses we knew when the golden calf was made. Amen? But what happened to Moses? The same Moses who fell on his face when he heard the rebellion, the same Moses who cried and who told them what needs to be done, now the same Moses speaking things which he wouldn't want to speak, which he wouldn't decide to speak. For what's going to happen if he didn't, is not going to be something what the Lord wanted the people of Israel to receive. For that reason, the word must be spoken. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, until he finished speaking, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, whatever the foundation that they were standing upon, whatever the desire, intents, personal gain, dishonest gain that they wanted to gain, whatever the knowledge and wisdom, having the form of godliness, the intent, whatever it is, that is like a falsehood foundations, not the foundation that is sure. The Lord shook the prison and the foundation was broken. They and all that went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Is it just physical? In the New Testament, when the Lord speaking to us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the darkness, against the wickedness. Amen? For the battle that we are all going through in the seventh church age, you are not going to see chariots of armies of Pharaoh or Sennacherib knocking the door outside. It's all very subtle. In your mind, in your thoughts, in your actions, in the way you interpret, in the way you receive, in the way you understand, everything will work against your salvation. The only thing that can preserve you, that can shield you, that can protect you, is the only promise what the Lord gave to all of us. Holy Ghost, by which you are all sealed unto the day of redemption. There was a wall of fire round about, and the glory of the Lord was in the midst of us. So what is more important to all of us, my brethren? To come and sing 40 minutes to feel we praise the Lord? To come and listen to sermon for 1 to 2 hours to feel that we learned something, we listened to the word of God, so Sunday was well spent? Or to desire the glory of the Lord shall stand in the midst of us, and we will work, we will pray, we will do everything, we will surrender, we will bring beautiful sacrifices, sweet aroma, acceptable in the sight of the Lord, to make sure the flame is burning beautifully, shining with so much power and life. The glory of the Lord is in the tabernacle. What is our desire? The day the glory of the Lord leaves the tabernacle, we are done. There is no wall. There is no one can protect us from the snares of this world. Our flesh, our mind, our past will come and devour you. The glory of the Lord, where there is the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And the truth shall set you free. Amen? The Lord has given to all of us the Spirit of truth. So how you separate? How you separate yourself by the truth that has been given to you is how you walk in your life to glorify the name of the Lord. Remember this. If you say, Lord, yes, you have given me the Spirit of the truth. I know. But you know what? I'm very busy in my work. I'm very busy in my life. So you just make sure I'm always separated. Who is it? Read this again. Verse 21. Separate yourself. Nobody is helping you. No one is going to stand for your faith. Every man stood at his door of the tent. You stand for your faith. You stand for the mercy and grace you receive. You stand for the promises the Lord has given you. You stand for the testimony the Lord has imputed in you. You stand for the revelation of truth that was revealed to you. Don't expect anyone to stand for you. For the Lord will come and tell you, be a man. We are going to have a discussion. Let's talk. Let's go out. When you speak, may the Lord bless us to be prepared with answers that are acceptable in His sight. He will come and tell every one of us, be a man. Be my creation. I'm going to speak, you are going to answer me. He will inquire every one of us individually. Separate yourself. Now you understand why Jesus said, if anyone desired to follow me, he didn't say, go and bang your head on some wall, it will help you to deny yourself. He didn't say, go and ask someone to help you deny yourself. He said, deny yourself. If anyone has a desire to follow me, deny yourself. Break your own free will. Break your weaknesses. Break your hesitation. Come upfront. Come forward. Stand upright and tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. I denied myself. All I need is you in me. It is Christ in me. I don't want any of me to be in me when I cross the promised land, because you can't. Until we are conformed to the image of God, do you really think the gate will be open? The way the Lord sealed the tree of life in Genesis, the cherubims, do you think the seal is so easy to crack? You cannot cheat God. Amen? You can never cheat God. Even with His own word, you can try to cheat yourself. But the loser is always you. Loser is always me. But with the Lord, He will allow people to influence one another. The way He deals in our lives is so mighty that He will make you to fall into the trap of someone, but you may think because of Him I fell, but you fell because of something you did in the past. Because He is a righteous judge. He would never let any children to say, I could have done this in the best possible way, but this another child of God stopped me. The spirit of unity, the spirit of the Lord, can it let two vessels to quarrel? Either one of them is not led by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Jesus said this. The Spirit of the Lord is the beauty of the unity of the church, the unity of the brethren. Behold, how beauty it is, brethren who dwell in unity. If there is no unity, then there is an untempered mortar. Someone is offering an unacceptable fire, unacceptable sacrifice, incense to the Lord, and the Lord is angry. Untempered mortar, strange fire, profaning His name by saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. A minister of God sent me a prophecy of someone sent to him. You hear this prophecy. Thus saith the Lord, today's meeting shall be a Zoom meeting. The leaders will be forced to speak one by one. The Lord is with you. Something like that. You are telling me the eternal Spirit, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the name before the heaven and earth trembles, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel, Yeshua, He comes and tells you it's going to be a Google meeting, Teams meeting, Zoom meeting. And you glorify the name of the Lord. Are you sure? Is it from the Spirit of the Lord? Are you sure? Beware of false prophets, my dear brethren. For they will grow in the times of the end. If you say, I was hit, I was broken, then the Lord will come and ask you, where is your faith? Where is the truth I revealed to you? Where is the revelation of my knowledge and wisdom, the glory of His face that is in your life? Where is it? He will ask. The tabernacle of the Lord must remain as a tabernacle of the Lord. Did you see what just happened now? The tabernacle of the Lord, there was a division, a separation. It was mentioned as tabernacle of Korah, Datham, Abiram. What? Someone stood in the place of the Lord Himself. The God whom you serve, the heavenly kingdom, is an orderly kingdom. He never go beyond His order. He never go against His anointing. If at all some voice comes and tells you, the most subtle, deceptive, evil voice that you could hear is, he would not understand. Have you seen people who come and do some backbiting to you? They would start by saying that, I wish I could go and tell this to him or her. But the problem is, they would not understand. Then for why you are telling to them? Is there any answer to the question? If I go and tell Sister Lucy, Sister Yvonne is doing this. Sister Lucy is asking me, why are you telling me this? I'm telling her, she would not understand. Then why are you telling me this? What is the fruit of me understanding that she would not understand? What is the profit for me to receive the accusation of someone whom I love? Accusation, adversary, untempered mortar of those who know the Lord. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Remember, the day when we say the Lord said it, when the Lord has not spoken, then where is your testimony? Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Where is your testimony? I heard some brother told me, Brother Grant's ministry was so much blessing to me and my family. About 1 year back, the sister cried, I was so touched and blessed by Brother Grant's ministry. Where are you? I'm asking you if you see this. Where are you? I don't see you in the last 1 year. You testified, but where are you? I don't see you. Where is your testimony? And one brother sent me a message. I decided not to enter the church for there is no Timothy. Oh, I didn't know it was Timothy who went for the Calvary for you. I didn't know he was crucified for you. I didn't know Timothy was Alpha and Omega. I didn't know whom you serve. We come to the church of the Lord for only one name. Not for Moses, not for Joshua, not for Timothy, not for Branham, not for Richard Gant, not for anyone, but for Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. When I saw the message, I was like, what you learned in the last 40 years? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Every one of us who come to the house of the Lord, my brethren, do not be blindfolded just because you are baptized. Do not be blindfolded just because the Lord blessed you with gifts, knowledge and wisdom. Do not be blindfolded because of the truth that was given to you. Because the truth would never blindfold you. Truth is liberty. Truth is light. But the blindfolding process of our life is the untempered mortar. You apply something on your eyes and you became blind. You don't see what the Lord wants you to see. You don't hear what the Lord wants you to hear. You don't perceive what the Lord wants you to perceive. And you don't understand what the Lord wants you to understand. Untempered mortar, ears, eyes, mind, heart, you see everything with some paste, a plaster, a strange fire that is not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. I want you all to remember this. Every time your flesh, your mind, your own thoughts tells you to remember someone's mistakes, be very careful. Because if the Lord decided to do the same what you are doing, do you know what will happen to our life? Remember the most shameful sin that you committed within the four words. Nobody knows. The Lord knows, right? You know the Lord knows, right? And you know He has forgiven you, right? If you want to go and find some accusation against your own brethren and go and spread gossips, discord, what if the Lord decided, I decided to forget your iniquity? Correct? The Lord who forgets your iniquities. He don't want to remember. He don't want to see. But you know what you're doing? Lord, come, remember what I did. Do you hear me? I'm here. Remember my iniquities. Remember my sin. You're calling for the wrath to come upon you. The way you weigh your life, your thoughts, your actions, the Lord is coming with His own weighing scale. But this time, He won't go on the same way. He will go 7 times. Remember, 7 times for those who know Him. Not a joke, right? I want all of us to be very careful. We receive truth. We receive apostolic faith. We receive something extremely, exceedingly great reward, precious privilege. where the whole world is searching elsewhere. My father taught me once. He was my class teacher. In his classroom, whenever he is teaching, if someone makes a mistake, he will punish them. If someone is doing something harmful to someone, he will tell them, until and unless you go and repent and say sorry to the person, you cannot enter the class. That's what you do. But most of the times, you know what students will do? They know, in order for me to enter the class, I must say sorry to him. It's okay. It's okay. If I don't say sorry, the class teacher would not allow me to be inside the class. So for that reason, I will just say or throw sorry. I say, I repent. I'm so sorry. I hurt you. Yes, I can go and keep my seat. I can go and be inside the class because it's my class. I don't want to give the class. If there is no change, if there is no revival, if the same thing that we committed, we do it repeatedly, then what you did was not repentance. It's called untempered mortar. It's called strange fire. Because you are called to serve. You are not called to stand far and watch. That is the duty of those who do not know the Lord. If all the ministries of the Lord who stand for the truth, if they are not focusing on witnessing to the souls, go and speak to them who don't even know Christ. Go and be there for them who are harming themselves. Praying for them, be there for them with love. If you are all deviated, distracted, focusing on something that is absolutely meaningless, the Lord would wait only for a period of time. Because the scripture says, anything that stops the wheels of the chariot from rolling, the Lord will break it. It could be a wheel, it could be a stone. We can choose. The stone can be the enemy because the Lord did not anoint them to be the wheels of the ministry. He is not the stone. The stone does not know. It is standing in the way of the Lord's people. He will break it into pieces like Jericho, like Sodom and Gomorrah. But what if the wheel itself says, I don't want to be round, I want to be square. I want to be triangle because I love this shape. I think I will fit in perfectly. If the wheel is not circle, it won't rotate. Do you hear me? Takes no size. There is no size in circle. Do you know that? A circle has no size. It's absolutely beautifully drawn by the hand of God. Like the pupil of our eye. Shape of the earth. Shape of the sun. The water droplet when it falls from the cloud. The closest form that it can take because of gravity is sphere. You know? A wheel cannot take size. It should be the way the Lord wanted to be. Be the circle shape that I called you to be. If you say, Lord, no. I know I'm a clay, you are the potter. But you know, based on what I learned, based on my skills, I think I can become a prophet. Oh, show me one single verse in the Bible. One single verse in the Bible where the servants of God told the Lord, apply for a job. You know, my name is David. I'm the last son. I'm a good shepherd, good warrior. You know, if you just give me a stone, I can hit the bullseye. I have this many skills. I have this many years of experience. I'm applying for the job of King of Jerusalem. I'm applying for the job of a prophet, a psalmist. Oh, you are telling the Lord, I'm a better candidate for you. None in the scripture asked the Lord that I want to be this. The only thing that we are all called to be is to be. To conform to be the image of God. To remain as the bondservants of Christ. To enjoy the privilege of being the friend of the one who died for your sin. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What we speak, how we live. Let's turn your Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 1, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that he spake unto me. Uprightness that we are all asking for the Lord to grant us. The Spirit entered into you, set you upon your feet, upright. speak, think, and do for the glory of the Lord. Anything else is creeping. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. Who sent whom unto whom? I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall not know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Why? The Lord is keep on telling these two words. Whether they take it or drop it, whether they listen or not, whether they understand or not, it is your duty to speak. It is a responsibility to speak the words of life. All of you, I'm telling you, all of you are the builders of the world. All of you are the servants of Christ. Be thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. King Hezekiah ran into the house of the Lord with sackcloth to pray, and he spread the letter before the Lord. Now the Lord is spreading something before his child. Why everything follows the same pattern? Because the Lord whom you serve, he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Same right now. And there was with written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. The Lord told the watchman to eat it. Eat the lamentations, eat the woe. Moreover, he said unto me, chapter 3, verse 1, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat this roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech. Strange speech. We just listen to the word strange fire. Let's continue. And often hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, and often hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. They would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, this is where he put a very strong warning. The same warning he said, if they hear or refuse, they take or drop. Now he is giving the same warning to the watchman. What he says? Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words, not some, not that you like, not that is comfortable to you, all my words, all my commandments, that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Now you know. What is the process of hearing with understanding? Receive it in your heart, then hear it with your ears. If your heart is not prepared to receive the glory of the Lord, the words of the Lord will never reach your ears.
and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people. You see the separation? The tabernacle of Korah, Datham, Abiram, not the tabernacle of the Lord, of the congregation of the Lord. He says thy people, he didn't say my people. Look at the separation of the word spoken. We can become thy people any day when we go against his name. And speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, whether they accept or they reject, whether they despise or they repent, whether they mock or take it sincerely. Speak. Lot invited his son-in-laws with a desire and a love for them. This is the invitation for you to be saved. Take it. And they mocked at him. So the mocking of the son-in-laws of Lot was considered as disobedient. They were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. But the laughing of Sarah was considered as unbelief, and he was rebuked by God himself. You laughed. Why God did not rebuke the son-in-laws of Lot when they mocked at the Lot? Ask yourself a question. Is God being not fair? Because Sarah laughed, and God said, you laughed. He rebuked her. And the invitation was given to the family of Lot, and they mocked at him, but they were not rebuked. They were not warned. They were, let them be what they want to be. There was something that separated the laughing of Sarah and the mocking of the family of Lot. Still, Lot managed to bring his wife out of the Sodom and Gomorrah, because two shall be one flesh. He was doing everything to make sure his wife is preserved. He was trying. He told her to follow, and she was following. But still, the flesh that was supposed to be uncircumcised, that was supposed to be circumcised, the uncircumcised one was circumcised. She turned back and she became the pillar of salt. She was removed from the life of Lot. It's not just a physical form of what we see. The Lord wants you to remove the pillar of salt in your life before you enter the promised land. The life of Lot was not successful after that. The two men told him to go to the mountain, but he refused. He asked for another place. Or he went to the mountain. He was so scared. Went to the cave. What happened? The two daughters slept with their one father one by one when he was asleep. And they gave birth to children. Moab and Ammon. Right? Hope you remember. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Moab and Ammon was created. Something is happening here, right? I want you all to study what happened to Moabites and Ammonites in the scripture. It's a beautiful lesson for all of us. What happened to Moabites and Ammonites in the scripture? You could see them in all the prophetical books. Is it just a physical thing for us to just limit our understanding? It's not. Whatever God had performed in the Old Testament is just a prefiguration of what he will be doing, he is doing, he was doing even now. Let's go back to Numbers. Verse 35, chapter 16. Now you see there is a separation even in the form of what the Lord is showing his anger. There is separation. He did not do it in the same way. You must ask why. Verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. That offered what? Incense. Because they were told to put the fire therein. And they stood at the door of the tabernacle of the Lord, which means you stand before the Lord. Which means you go against the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, they show the strange fire before the Lord. Fire came out from the heaven and burned them. 250 men who were shortlisted, recruited, chosen by the company of Korah, Datham and Abiram. They stood with the incense. The fire came out. Not before the earth opened. After the earth opened. So the Lord showed them, hello 250, look at what happened to your recruiters. Have you seen it? Are you expecting the same as is going to devour? No. He is a righteous judge. He will do everything according to your work, according to your deed, according according to your thoughts, according to your intent. So he sent a fire, and that fire consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Only those who offered, my brethren, only those who offered incense. If among those 250, one realized his nakedness, his blindness, he dropped everything, run away from the place, he would have survived. If he had said, no, I'm not worthy to offer the incense, I'm not worthy to put the fire, I'm not worthy because I committed sin, Lord forgive me, punish me, whatever, he would not have been burnt. Because he did not bring the strange fire before the Lord. He was contented, he was aware, he escaped. But no, all the 250, they were in oneness. They were together. Like when Lucifer fell, with the tail, he took 1/3 of his army, right? When the Lord strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter, 1/3 will stay. Amen? Very similar. 1/3 of the army was following their master because they were one, together as one. The same way the Tower of Babel was built. Oneness. Enemies can have oneness. It's also easy for the Lord. He will just wait. He waits because he is gracious. He waits because he is merciful. So his children are getting lessons. They fall and rise. They make some mistakes. The Lord smote their head. They wake up. They grow higher. They grow higher. They remain humble. They grow higher. Whenever they go haughty, he hit them, break the knee. He keeps them closer. He punish them, chasten them, make them happy, make them broken. He will do all things. He is waiting. On the other side, he just let things go. Everybody gathers. So when you look back, are you ready? Then you say, I'm coming. Because God cannot gather the enemies. Enemies will gather themselves. In Him there is no darkness. In Him there is no deceit. In Him there is no cunning. He is light. He is full of love. He is only focusing on you. His eyes will not see filthiness. His eyes will not see abomination. That is why He tells the Son of Man, you go and see. I can't see. You go and see, I can't see, because he is holy. That's why he said, I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap. I can't find no one. Because without the Spirit of the Lord, nobody can stand in the gap. If he can say, I can't stand in the gap, but I have no spirit, you challenge God. That's what Lucifer did. You challenge God when there is no spirit in you. We say, Lord, I am not worthy. Do whatever you please. Do whatever you want. Here I am. Verse 36. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. You see, the censers of these sinners against their own souls. The Lord who turned the reproach upon their own head. Let them make them broad place for a covering of the altar, for they offered before the Lord. For they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. What? They shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. So even there, even the burning, even the opening of the ground, the Lord says, I want my children to be aware. I want my children to be careful. I want my children to be safe. Do you see agape love everywhere? You can see everywhere. Even when he's angry, he is still speaking love to you. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censer, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. What? Covering of the altar. Turn your Bibles. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. To 24. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Amen? Sin offering, burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out. They went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out. What they did after that? They blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. It happened exactly the same in number 16. Correct? But the only difference was, there were a group of people who were together challenging God, they also stood before the Lord. But what is the way the Lord works? Whenever there is strange fire, like the one Nadab Abihu brought, a fire came out from heaven and consumed them. That is how the Lord works. That is how He is. He is who He is. Verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. There was also a fire, but this fire consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. What? The burnt offering and the fat. Do not misunderstand the word fat. This fat is something speaking about good. We will go there next Sunday. This is a different fat. Not our filthy knowledge and wisdom. No. Which, when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. This is what happened in chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. Correct? Just look at the next verse. The very next verse. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon, offered a strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. That is where the Lord separates. That is where the Lord separates, which the Lord commanded them not. The Lord is speaking to you. My son, do not do this, for I have commanded this not. What if you lose your hearing when the last word comes not? What happens? It changed the perspective entirely opposite, right? You would say, the Lord told me, my son, do this, I have commanded this. But the Lord says not. You would hear, note this. Oh, the Lord told me to take a note, I'll go and do it. Twisting the word of the Lord. The Lord told Prophet Elijah, I'm not in the storm. I'm not in the noise. I'm not in the screaming. I'm here, still small voice. Those who are humble, who are willing to lose anything and everything for His glory, they will listen to His voice crystal clearly. Not half. The Lord is warning you, but most of the time we say, you know, the dream is not for me. I'm gifted. I'm going to warn him, warn her on this. But the Lord is warning you. Every time the Lord is speaking to you, the very first warning is for you. Remember this. He would never let the vessel to be used before perfecting the vessel. Because He is all about His perfect will. The vessel cannot be crooked for the Lord to go and use it. You need to be yielding to His Spirit. Read this. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. After six chapters, what happened there was addressed after six chapters. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, which they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother. He's your brother. Don't you forget it. That he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. I don't want my son to die. I don't want my son to perish. Aaron was warned by Moses, his brother. But I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Six chapters later. Now go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Look at the way the Lord you serve works. Second Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12. We will read from verse 22 first. Verse 22. And Abner said again unto Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah, that lieth before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner, and became one troop, and stood on the top of an hill. Then Abner called to Joab, and said, Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the later end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following thy brethren? And Joab said, As God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely that in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still, and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, and passed over Jordan, and went through all the Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of the day. I want you all to meditate on this event prayerfully, as the Lord is moving the promises that he has placed for all his children, especially the way that we are all exposed to the snares, to the battle against our flesh, our mind, our thoughts. We must learn how our master wants us to learn. Amen? Not how we want to learn. Let's read two more verses before we continue next week. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 22. Look at the word that was spoken by the daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas. She said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. She spoke this word after he gave birth to a child. Do you remember? She heard the news of her father-in-law died. The two sons died. Her husband died. She gave birth to a child. And the child's name is in verse 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was a child near to be delivered when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead. She bowed herself and travailed, for a pain came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her and said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not. She did not answer. Neither did she regard it. She didn't even acknowledge or receive it. She named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. My brethren, you look at her claim. The ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. She named the child to remember why the ark of God was taken. So God allowed the ark to be taken for the sin committed by the father and the two sons. What happened to the two sons? What happened to the father? What happened to Aaron? What happened to Nadab Abihu? Listen to me. After the Lord burned Nadab and Abihu, God told Moses, Speak to Aaron. Amen? But what Moses said? The Lord says, I will honor them who come near to me. I will glorify them. I will be sanctified in the tabernacle where my name will be glorified. He didn't say anything about the death. He didn't say anything what he did. He just said, this is me, who I am. Scripture says, Aaron held his peace. Not his peace, his peace. Held his peace. I told you, the word shalom, it means destroying the chaos. Because of that, there is wholeness, there is completeness, there is blessedness, there is peace. To give peace, the Lord is destroying your flesh. The Lord is destroying you, yourself. The Lord is destroying everything that is not His, holding on to you, dragging you, hitch, giving, making you to give a hitch drive to the devil. He destroys. Then He says, Shalom, means wholeness. Feel the wholeness of my creation, in soul, in spirit, and in body. So Aaron held peace. You see what happened to Prophet Eli. In my mother tongue, I call him Eli. Is it Eli or Eli? Eli. I say the same. Now let's go. Read this. Chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, verse 12. My brethren, chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. How it is possible? They knew not the Lord. When God was speaking to Prophet Samuel, he could not understand that it was God who is speaking to him. Because he was like a child. The Lord has not revealed His word to him. But the prophet perceived. But he thought, this is a child. He has a lot to learn. Spiritually immature. Come, I'll teach you. But the Lord was warning the prophet, I'm going to remove you. You are going to fall because of your two sons. The Lord was warning the prophet. He couldn't see. He was always taking the seat of, I'm going to guide. I'm going to prune. I'm going to help you. The first person who needs help is you. Is me. Lord, I want help. When you scream to Abba, Father, help me. Lord says, my son, you broke the denial of your blessing. You broke it. Receive it. If you have any prayer request, speak. If at all some voice telling you, the Lord will listen to you. You are a child of God. It's a lie. We pray together, we heal together. The Lord whom we serve mightily, He wants us to dwell as a family. As a family. Whenever we go through some strong pain and sufferings in our life, most of the time we don't say, I'm going through this, pray for me. We think, why I should say this? The Lord answered my prayers. True, the Lord answered our prayers. But in togetherness, when someone prays for you, you know what will happen? That someone will be delivered because of your prayer request. I say it in the name of Jesus Christ. When Job prayed for his friends, he was restored from his captivity. Read the verse deeply. Deliverance is happening everywhere, no matter who is praying, who is prayed for. The Lord bless all. He rejoices in his fellowship. We will make mistakes. No one is perfect. But the intent, Lord, let me be the liar. Let me be the loser. Let me lose my face. But Lord, your name is all we seek. Your glory is all we desire. But Lord, we are willing to be broken, punished. But until the day we come and say, oh, Father, our Master, thank you for perfecting me to enter the rest. Until the day you are not perfect, I am not perfect. No one is perfect. We need one another. Verse 36, same chapter, 2 verse 36. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of these priest officers, that I may eat the piece of bread. Does it ring a bell? Read this from verse 34. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, and Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. Is it a physical death? Or die to your sin? Come back to your senses that you are alive in Christ. The Lord is not rejoicing in killing His children. It's a warning for all of us. Kill the old man in you. Remain alive in Christ. Make sure you have no Hophni Phinehas in your life. Slay them with the sword of the Lord. Tell them, I am the part of the wood. Circumcise your flesh. Burn it in the sacrifice, in the altar. The Lord will do it for you. Which day? Yesterday? Tomorrow? The day, the same day that you believe, you will be delivered from your captivity. It's a promise from the Lord. And verse 35, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart, in mine mind, not in his heart, not in his mind. Not in your heart, not in your mind. He said, I will raise. He didn't say, he will raise himself. The Lord says, I will raise. Because no one can say, I found the faith of God, unless God gave you the faith. But He wants you to grow. He wants you to exercise. He wants you to grow. And I will build him a sure house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The foundation, the only foundation that is sure, the apostolic faith, the doctrines, the chief cornerstone upon which the ministry of the Lord is built. Sure house. Faithful priesthood. You. Me. We. In the sight of the Lord. Only He can say. And He shall walk before mine anointed forever. Forever. What happened to Prophet Eli? What happened? He was old. He was old to the point that his eyes became blurred, couldn't see. When he was informed that his two sons died in the battle, he fell, his neck was broken, and he died. Remember? Chapter 4. Do you understand the spiritual prefiguration of neck broken? When Brother Gunn was teaching us concerning the fivefold ministry, how the Lord called apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists to hold onto His mighty hand to do the ministry of the Lord. Our Lord and our Savior is our head. Amen? The head is here. The neck is here. If you remain a stiff-necked person, rigid, tell the Lord, I want to become this shape of vessel. I want to become a square. I want to become a triangle, not the wheel. I want to become a vessel. I don't want to become a water glass. I want to become a, you know, like a wine glass. Do whatever you want. When the neck is so stiff, the Lord will say, don't do it. He will give you warnings. But if you all take all the warnings as, oh, I'm a child of God, I'm being persecuted, I'm a martyr of the Lord, everybody is throwing stones at me. Delusion, deception, wake up. He fell down, broke his neck, he died. When he heard the two sons died in the battle, ask yourself why he could not hold onto his peace which Aaron was able to hold. When the Lord burned two sons, Aaron held his peace. Amen? When the Lord allowed these two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to be killed in the battle, Eli could not hold on to his peace. Why? And the daughter-in-law says, glory of the Lord, the ark of God, left, taken as captive because of my father-in-law and my husband. Remember why the ark of the Lord was taken as captive? Remember? The children of Israel thought, we are going to go and take the ark of God. They did. But the Philistines, they proclaimed their oneness together. They proclaimed their desire to go and take it again. They went and defeated Israel again. And they took the ark of God again. On one side, two sons were burnt. father held the peace. On other side, two sons died, father also died. On one side, father was alive, worshipping the god Nisroth, Sennacherib. Two sons jumped over him, killed him. Father killed by two sons burned by God, two sons died in the battle, one father was holding peace, one father could not hold his peace and he died. May the Lord bless us to show our reverence and honor, to receive the knowledge and wisdom, holding on to the fear of God in His agape love. I repeat, hold on to the fear of God in His agape love. The Lord will bless us with His knowledge and wisdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, dear brethren. May the Lord bless us to walk in His ways and to do His commandments, to have the right to the tree of life. Amen. Shalom. Let's all stand and pray. Our Lord, God of Israel, God of Isaac, God of Abraham, Lord, we bless Your holy name. Thank You, Lord, for blessing all of us with a place where we can gather and worship in truth and praise You in truth and pray together in truth and to speak of Thy goodness and greatness in truth, for there is liberty in truth. May You fill all of us with Your Spirit. May You fill all of us with Your goodness, Your mercy, Your faithfulness, for You are gracious. Help us, Lord, to love one another in Christ, to serve one another in Christ, and to trust one another in Christ. For a plant cannot become a tree the day tomorrow. For the Lord is the one who feeds, who sends the sunlight, who watereth, who prunes for the plant to become a tree. A child cannot run the race until the Lord teach the child how to walk before the child learns how to run. May You bless all of us, O Lord, to see our life, how the Spirit calls us from the deep, to understand Your mighty divine work that is going on in all our lives, to have reverence and honor for Thy mighty hand upon all our life, because, Lord, we love You and we are Yours. We are Your church, one congregation of the Lord. For there is no one, there is absolutely no one can try to defile the temple of the Holy Ghost, for the Lord of hosts will destroy the vessels that are profaning His name. But Lord, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. May You bless us to be the brothers of Joseph. When Joseph called them, they came forward leaving their flesh and carnality and stood before them as the brothers of Joseph. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, You called all of us into Your marvelous life. You invited us to experience Your agape love, the salvation. Bless us, Lord, to be the brothers in Christ, friends in Christ, brethren of same precious faith, to come forward, leaving our past, leaving our pain, leaving our sorrow, leaving our weariness, leaving our pride, ego, whatever that is not acceptable in Thy sight. Bless us, Lord, to come forward, to move forward. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brother.